give him introduction. You young men and ladies that are in the college, you need to make not only Jesus your best friend, amen, and have a good earthly relationship with your wife, but you need to have other people in the ministry that you love, that when you are ready to quit, like Brother Chitty said, amen, that you got somebody other than your wife to tell you don't quit, amen, and she may be enough for you, amen, but I love my wife, but I call her woman, amen, a lot, and that's biblical. Jesus did that. That's what I do, amen, and so sometimes I need somebody else that'll just help me to stay faithful, help me to, you know, kick me in the teeth and say, get over yourself and get on with the work of God, amen, and it's good for us, isn't it? Isn't it good for us to have somebody we can call and encourage us? And so Brother Chad's been that for me for years. We went to college here together, and I'm proud to death of what God's doing in his life, and I'm glad to be his friend. I'm glad that he's still sticking to the stuff. And this is our alumni day, so I'm just glad that he's from here. Amen, from Landmark Baptist College. And, Brother, you come on up. I think Preacher's going to introduce you again, too. So.
Amen. Come on, Preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Did he say then he'll criticize me?
That's what he said.
Amen.
I didn't know that word critique, so I knew the other word
to come from. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 23 this morning, Psalm number 23. I know what you're thinking, Psalm 23, is this a funeral? I've been in a lot of Baptist churches in the morning where it seemed like one, amen. And but just because we're in Psalm 23, we don't have to act like we're dead. And we don't have anything to mourn, amen. And so Psalm 23 is a familiar psalm in the Bible. Even many of the heathen know it, lost folks know it, because they probably hear it most at funerals and things such as that. And even Christians, a lot of Christians think about Psalm 23, and they think about it being a sad psalm. And but I'll be honest with you, the more I study it, and the more I read it and think about it, meditate upon it, I don't find anything sad about it, amen. But I get encouraged by reading it. Matter of fact, I believe David, as he's writing it under inspiration of God, I believe he's encouraging himself in the Lord, amen. And that's what I want to try to do this morning. And I trust to be some help to you. Let's read all six verses, and then we'll pray and get in the message. The Bible says in verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to take these six verses and, Lord willing, try to preach through each one individually and preach on this thought, some definites in our Christian life, some definites in our Christian life. Let's pray. Father, I love you, dear God, and I thank you for loving me. And Lord, I bow before you and humble myself before you and confess that I need you. Lord, I don't take it lightly nor for granted the opportunity that's been given to stand here and Dr. Carter's pulpit. I thank you for him. Thank you for his influence in my life and on our family, and Lord, how he's invested in us. And Lord, for this place, for this church, investing in us and investing in others. God, I ask you, dear God, that you'd fill me with your power here this morning, that you would speak through me, dear God. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven this morning. And God, no doubt there's heavy hearts. There's folks here that are faced with trials and troubles. And God, there's things that they're faced with. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know, Father, the outcome of how things are going to happen. So I pray that this morning, for the next little while, we'd be able to draw from your word. The Holy Spirit would take the word of God, apply it to our hearts, and Lord, meet the needs that are represented here this morning. God, I beg you, Lord, I need you. I pray that you'd use me. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I was going to brag on Brother Barry and say some things, but at breakfast, He said, I don't know how good the preaching will be this morning, but it'll be long. And when you have friends like that, amen, you don't need enemies. And so I'm not going to get at him. Amen. Let's get right into the word this morning. I want to look at all six verses here and begin in verse number one, some definites in the Christian life. You know, there's a lot of indefinite things. Folks, last night, it's amazing, they made jokes about checking the phones and about who's winning in the elections and things such as that. And I'll be honest, when church was over, I turned my phone on because I'm interested in Georgia, amen. And I don't want no socialist to be our governor. I don't want no Muslim to be our governor, amen. Governor Deal, our Republican governor, by the way, everything that's Republican isn't always good. He sold us down the river, amen, made a bunch of false promises he didn't keep. And I knew we didn't need no more of that. But there's a lot of uncertainty. Who's going to win? Who's going to win Florida? Who's going to win Senator? Who's going to win all those things? You know, there's a lot of things that we can try to figure out and predict, but really, there's a lot of uncertainties. But I'm glad when it comes to the Christian life, there are some things that we can be sure of, some things we can be certain of. Amen. One thing, listen, I thank God that we can be certain God's word is true. Amen. We can depend upon God's word. We can rely upon God's word. You say, how can we do that? I'll tell you why, because it's not man's word, but it is God's word. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the very words of God. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I notice in verse number one, some definites in the Christian life. David writes here under inspiration, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'll remind you, Psalm 23 is not written for lost folk. Amen. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm his, and he is my mine. Amen. I belong to him. I am his possession. Why is that? Because he has purchased me with his shed blood. Amen. So David writes in verse number one, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I notice this, number one, in the definites in the Christian life. Listen, we can know for sure. We do know for sure because of the word of God that, listen, we have the Almighty Sovereign, the Almighty God. Amen. David didn't say a Lord. He didn't say some Lord, but David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. He is the Almighty. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. I did a study and preached on Wednesday nights not long ago through the book of Genesis, and it was interesting. A lot of you probably know this, but for a dumb country boy, this excited me to think about. Amen. As I went through the book of Genesis and I was studying just right there in chapter number one, I found this. Amen. In my reading. And there's 10 times in chapter number one that the Bible says this. The Bible says, and the Lord said, and God said. And the interesting thing is, for every time that God spoke, every time that God said, his creation answered. Everything, every time God said in chapter number one, creation answered. Amen. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know about you, but that is the Almighty God that spoke the world into existence. Amen. In Psalm 33, the Bible says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke the world into existence. He is not a God, not some God, but he is the God. Amen. That's the God whom we serve. That's the God in whom David is encouraging himself about. Amen. He is the one who said, I am the good shepherd. He didn't just say, I am a shepherd. I am some shepherd. But he said, I am, listen, the good shepherd. If all he said was, I am the shepherd, that'd be good enough. Amen. But he said, I am the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Amen. He's the one whom, listen, Abraham spoke of when he told Isaac, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham was talking about not a God, not some God, but about the God. Amen. He was the one who John the Baptist pointed to when he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Which taketh away the sin of the world. That is the Lord. heart that David is speaking to us about here. Not only, listen, is he the Almighty, I'm thankful. Listen, he is the all-powerful God who brought the plagues upon Egypt when Egypt was in, God's people were in slavery down there in Egypt, and God raised up Moses to send Moses down there. He'd raised, been raised in Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter, and God chose to raise Moses up to deliver the people of God out of captivity. He's the all-powerful one that brought the plagues upon the people of Egypt and upon Pharaoh. He's the all-powerful God that when they come to the Red Sea and they didn't know what they were going to do, the sea was here, the mountains there, and Pharaoh's army are coming right behind, amen. Hey, he's the God that parted the Red Sea so that all of the people of God could walk across on dry ground. That's the mighty God whom we serve this morning. That's the mighty God whom David is writing about. He's the all-powerful God. Listen, I hope the Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and make application to every one of our hearts right where we need it, because there's probably some folks here this morning. There's probably somebody that feels like they're at the Red Sea. The mountains on one side and the devil's enemies coming, amen, and it seems like there's no way to go. I'm here to remind you, listen, we serve not a God, but we serve the all-powerful God who's able to deliver us, amen. He's the all-powerful God who rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still, and the wind ceased. You ever had a storm brewing in your life? A storm brewing in your heart? And you had no rest, you had no peace, and you didn't know what to do? And you finally come to the place, you quit turning to everything and everyone else, and you turn to the Almighty, and He spoke peace to that storm. The seas and the wind had to cease. He's the Almighty God whom the psalmist writes about and says that he hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth as in a measure and weighed the mountains and scales and hills in the balance. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I'd say, listen, he's a pretty big God. When he can measure out the waters of the oceans in the hollow of his hand. The weight of the mountains, listen, in the balance. If he's that mighty of a God, what is there in your life and my life? What is it in your ministry and my ministry? What is it in our churches, listen, that he's not able to handle? He's not able to take care of. He is, listen, not a God, not some God, but he is the Almighty God. He's the all-knowing God, amen. He's the Almighty, the all-powerful, but also the all-knowing. The all-knowing God who knows even the very numbers of hairs on our head. Some of us he makes that easier for, amen. Some turn loose and some turn gray. He's the all-knowing God who telleth the numbers of the stars and calleth them by their name. I'm sure you've probably heard the song. I think they even played on the radio. He knows my name. I'm glad that's not just a good song, but that's a truth. He knows my name. Nobody else may know my name. They don't have to know my name. I'm just glad he knows my name. Amen. Not only is he the Almighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, I'm glad, listen, he's the all-time present, the omnipresent God. Amen. Think about the Bible in Jeremiah 23 and verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I got thinking about that, and I couldn't help but think about Jonah, thinking about what Brother Parson said about when you want to quit, and we've heard about quitting this week, amen. And Brother Chitty gave us some good illustrations about quitting and exhorted us from the Word of God not to quit. I think about Jonah, amen. I think about whenever I entertain the thought of quitting, I'm glad that, listen, I can't get so far away from God. I can try to get away from my wife. I can try to get away from the church. I can try to get away from my godly friends so I can soak and sour and have a pity party and say, I think I'll just quit on God. But I'm reminded that God is there, amen. Jonah, listen, didn't like to have to do what God said he was to do. He said, I'm not going that way. I think I'll go that way. I'll get away from God. I'll get away from the calling of God. He thought he could evade God, amen. When he got on that boat, he found out this. God was there whenever the storm came, amen. And they started trying to figure out what the problem was. Jonah said, it's me, boys. Just put me over. When he went into the water, he found out, listen, God was there. When God prepared that whale to swallow up Jonah, listen, he thought for sure, now I'll get away from God. But he found out in the midst of the belly of a whale, God was there, amen. And I'm so glad that whenever he finally come to himself, repented and got right with God, and God directed that whale to spit him out on the very shore that Jonah needed to be on, I'm glad once again he found out God was still there, amen. David is writing about the almighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-time present Lord, amen. I'm glad that's the same God in whom I serve. So in verse number 1, we find out who God is. In verse number 2, we see that God, the almighty, who is our provider. Look with me in verse 2. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-time present Lord is our source of abundant provision. He provides everything we have need of. Amen. He's provided everything that we'll ever need for every day of our life. I'm thinking about this. He says there, listen, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Aren't you glad for the peace that God provides? The peace that passeth all understanding. Listen, I'm glad that he provides everything I have need of. I think about joy. You know, before we got saved, we didn't know joy. Before we got saved, we didn't know peace. The world talks about, oh, we need peace, and there's so much division, and even in our country, they talked about it this morning, and there's a great divide. Listen, hey, can I say this? That there's going to be that until Jesus comes and gives you that peace, amen. I'm glad he's able to provide. David here is right, and he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm glad when life is full of turmoil and the waves and wind is raging, I'm glad that God can just speak peace to the situation. Some of you college students, I know what it's like to be a college student. I know what it's like to be a married college student. I know what it's like to be a married college student with children. I know what it's like to be a married college student with children and one in the hospital and the doctors say we don't know if he's going to live or not. And I know what it's like to get the hospital bill with no insurance and nowhere near enough money to cover it. But I'm glad that I serve the God, amen, the Almighty, who's able to speak peace during all of that. The God that whenever your family, you're grieving and you don't know what to do and your heart is broken and you come to the place as a father, I'll give my life, God, if you'll just save his life, God. Yeah. But God says, I don't need to do that. Sometimes I believe God just puts us in places like that so that he can draw us nigh unto him. Amen. And just speak peace. I know what it's like to have the college bill come and there's not enough money to pay it. Matter of fact, there's no money to pay it and you don't know what you're going to do. You start arguing with or having a heated discussion rather with your wife about how you're going to pay this and how you're going to pay that. But then God somehow just speaks peace. And through that peace, he provides. Amen. I read about what Charles Spurgeon said. He said this about verse number 2. Here are many pastures, every pasture rich, so that it can never be eaten bare. Here are many streams, every stream so deep and wide that it can never be drawn dry. The sheep have been eating in these pastures ever since Christ, and yet they are full of grass as ever. The sheep have been drinking at these streams, and yet they are brimful to this very day. And they will so continue to be till the sheep are called above to be in heaven. I thought, boy, that's pretty hard to improve upon that.
I've heard about how, listen, God had provided for my dad and his ministry and provided for my dad and his Bible college days. And he tells some of them stories, and I think those things, Dad, I think you're just making some of that up. There ain't no way all that stuff could really take place, amen. But I'm glad to find out the same God that provided for my dad is the same God that's provided for me. Amen. The same God that I've heard provide for my preacher is the same God that is still able and willing and wanting to provide for me. The same God that was able to do the impossible in days of old for people in the Bible is the same God that's able to provide the impossible for me and for you, for our families, for our churches, for our ministries. I'm glad that in Christ, in God, we can find abundant provision. Notice verse number 3. Verse number 3, we find what I call biblical principles. Remember, we're preaching about certainties. We can be certain we serve the Almighty. We can be certain because of the Word of God that our needs will be met. He is our abundant provision. But then also, listen, we can be certain that He has given us the right paths to live and walk in. Amen. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I could preach right there, but that ain't where I want to be. I want to move past that where He says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Notice that. I want you to remember this. Notice this. The Almighty has already provided the path for our life. College student, listen, you may be here this morning. You say, I'm trying to figure out the path I should be on, the path I should be going. And you don't have to figure it out, amen, because why? God has already provided the path. What is it? Paths of righteousness. The Almighty's already provided that. I think of this. You know, we're so stubborn. Notice I said we, because that includes me. We get so stubborn, we try to figure things out on our own and do things our own way and think that we got to find our own way. But I found this out. If you just get on the path that's provided, you'll face a lot less resistance. You'll have a lot less struggle. You'll endure a lot less sorrow and pain. I remember, I don't know, maybe I was about 21, 22, something like that. My dad and I and my brother had gone together, and we'd gotten a hunting lease up in Americus, Georgia. We're the great white hunters, amen. You can't eat horn soup. I just like killing them and eating them, amen. And so we found this property somebody told us about. It was for lease, a farm. They said, you go out there. Don't have many big deer, but it's full of does. And I said, that's fine with me. So we went out hunting. We went up there this one Thursday. We get up there, going to hunt Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it was opening weekend of gun season. And we'd picked out our places, already gone and putting our stands up and everything. And I found this trail that come out of a cornfield. And it's only about as wide as this pulpit. But man, it was ate up with deer track. And so I said, I'll put a tripod tree stand. I'll put that right there behind that cornfield. I'll catch them deer coming out of the cornfield, catch them coming in. My brother said, you're crazy. You'll never see deer there. Don't tell me I can't, because I'm proved to you I can. Amen. I get that stubbornness from my dad, by the way. And so I remember Dad had hurt his back somehow. And he woke up that morning. We were staying in the camper and woke up. And he said, guys, he said, y'all go on. He said, I'm afraid if I get up, I won't be able to walk. If I get out there in a tree, I won't be able to get down. I'll be in trouble. So y'all just go on. And so me and my brother went on, and I got up there in that stand I'd set up. And I mean, each side of that trail was so thick, if you stuck your hand in it arm deep, you couldn't see your hand at the end of your arm. I mean, it was thick with briars and them old wild blackberries and I mean, all kind of stuff and snakes. I hate snakes. And so I knew this. If I shot a deer, I had to make sure it dropped right there. I probably wouldn't find it. Sure enough, I sat there and I said, I'm going to show my brother. I'm going to kill me a deer right here. Sure enough, it was just daylight enough to see, and I'm looking, and I could see a deer about 30 yards from me. I put my scope up. I shot that thing, and I looked, and deer was gone. So what in the world? I know I hit the thing, so I'm impatient, by the way. I also get that from my dad. And I got down. You know, a good deer hunter says, oh, you wait 30 minutes, make sure the deer runs off and dies. And I know that's not political correct either, talking about killing things and all that. But hey, we got a governor that believes in it back in Georgia now. And I got down. I went over there where that deer stood, and there's a pile of blood. So, oh, yeah, I got him. So I start looking, I think the deer went this way. But I'm thinking, how in the world could it have gone that way? It's so thick. So I'm looking and looking. So finally, after a little while, my brother comes over. He said, did you kill one? I said, I shot it. I found blood, but I can't find the deer. So we're looking. He goes off this way, and I go off that way. And we're crawling through the bushes. And we get to where we're on our hands and our knees. It's so thick. And so I'm the kind that I'm mama's boy, but I still believe this. I still believe daddy can fix anything. I'm a grown man, so I said, we need to go get dad. So we go back to the camper and get dad. Dad, you got to come help us. I shot this deer, but I can't find him. So he says, all right. So he gets up, and he's about crippled and lame, and he gets out there. I drive him to where we're at, and he said, where'd you shoot it? And I showed him there's the pile of blood laying there. And my brother said, he's off this way. I said, no, he went that way. And we're going off in the bushes, and my dad said, you big dummies, come here. And my brother and me are so stubborn, amen, we don't want to admit we're wrong and dad is right. No, 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 the deer's this way. No, the deer's that way. And he said, hey, the deer's right down this trail. We said, what trail? There is no trail. He said, come here and look. And you get down and you could look underneath all those briars and all that stuff about knee high, and sure enough, there's a trail. He said, sons, those deer aren't as dumb as you boys. They're not going to go through all that thick stuff because there's already been a trail cut. There's already been, listen, a path provided, and that deer's going to go down that path. Sure enough, we went down there, and about 20 feet in there, there lie that deer right where Dad said he'd be. You say, where are you going with that? Man, I was picking briars and thorns and ticks and all kind of stuff out of my pants and out of my socks. And I mean, I had them all over me because I'm crawling through all of that stuff. And I got thinking about this. Listen, the Bible says, hey, he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I got thinking about them paths. You know, God will let you go on. Boys, look at me. God will let you go on and try to cut your own trail. He'll let you try to go your own way. He gave you free will. But you don't have to. You don't have to be pulling all them thorns out of your britches and your backside. You ain't got to get all cut up and all bruised up and all hurt. You say, why not? Because God has already provided a path of righteousness. Amen. Boy, I wish I learned that a long time ago. Think about this. The Bible... By the way, you say, well, how do we find that path? Getting his roadmap. Amen. He's given us the book to tell us about the paths of righteousness. I got thinking about this. Hey, the Bible isn't a book of do's and don'ts. It's a path of righteousness. And college, here's how it is. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but we all know how it is because we all been there. Dad, this is the stupidest rule I ever heard. And Dad, this makes no sense. And Mom, I don't understand why. And everybody else is doing it, but they say I can't do it. And he does it, but I can't do it. And on and on and on and on. Well, I just don't like all the do's, and I don't like all the don'ts. They say we got to do this, but he don't even do it, and all this and that. And if we're not careful, we'll get all bitter about the authority that's been placed over us. We'll begin to question and tear down the authority God has given us. But if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing with the Bible. Right. Brother Chitty was with us all day Sunday. Sunday night, he made a statement. He said, can I tell you all something? Hey, I don't like everything I find in here. Right. Now, don't you look at me so spiritual, because you don't either. Right. And I don't either. But I don't have to like it. Right. And you don't have to like it. God didn't give us do's and don'ts so that we could get bitter and upset and just have a miserable life. But he did it because, listen, he has a path of righteousness for his name's sake. He gave us his word, so listen, we wouldn't hurt ourselves. So that we wouldn't go get thorns and thistles all in our britches. He's already provided us with the right path, amen. You don't have to walk on that path of righteousness. God will let us go on our own path, but you better know the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. So we have biblical principles. I must hurry. Number four, we find God sustaining grace. Look at me in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm interested in the beginning of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to notice the valley and the shadow of death. The Lord, who is our abundant provider, will not only supply and provide the grace, the peace we need and the joy we need, but I'm thankful He's able to give us the grace we need.
Amen.
What did He tell Paul? My grace is sufficient. Yes. What was He saying? It'll always be more than you need.
Right.
When you think I've tapped out all grace, God says you ain't even touched the hem of it yet. Because I'm sufficient. My grace is sufficient. God's grace, listen, is provided when we face the deepest valley in our darkest day. In Song of Solomon 2 in verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. I believe that to be speaking about the Lord Jesus Himself. God is saying, listen, I am the Rose of Sharon. They say that in Bible days, those roses that grew in that area of Sharon, listen, were the most not only beautiful roses, but they had a medicinal purpose. They would crush those rose petals and they would put them in distilled water, and folks would drink that water, and that water would cure their illness. And I got thinking, God said, I am the Rose of Sharon. I'm glad that, listen, hey, whenever I received Him as my Savior, I received healing. Amen. But that's not where I want to be. He goes on, he says, and the lily of the valley. The lilies were that which adorned the bottom of the valley, where the sun didn't always shine all the time, where you weren't always up in the clouds, but you're down there in the valley, and the lilies, listen, the lowly lilies down there in the midst of the valley. And God said, listen, not only am I the Rose of Sharon, but I am the lily of the valley. Amen. The lily of my valley, the lily in the midst of your valley, amen. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David said, God, I'm not going to fear anything, because I know that even in the midst of the darkest days of my life, you are with me. You say, I can't understand that. I can't comprehend that. I'll be honest with you. I can't explain it. Other than to say this, grace. Grace. Think about the words of this song. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. For by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended, has on Him my heart depended. And there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bounty full store. Grace to cross that river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. Preacher, I've never faced what I'm facing today. I've never been in a valley like I find myself in this morning. You have no reason to fear.
Amen.
Why? Because the Almighty has supplied all sufficient grace.
Amen.
Grace, amen. Look with me, if you would, verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Did you notice that David, under inspiration, mentions enemies? I'm thankful for good friends. And I'm glad that I am aware of my friends. But you and I also need to be aware that we also have enemies. And listen to me. The person who gets to preach more than you is not your enemy. The person that pastors a bigger church than you is not your enemy. The pastor that has more ministries in his work than you do is not your enemy. The person who wins more souls to Christ than you is not your enemy. The person that appears like God has poured out more blessings upon them than you is not your enemy. Can I remind you, we are co-laborers with Christ. What's that mean? We're equal. I'm not better than Brother Chitty, and Brother Chitty's not better than me. He's not my enemy, and I'm not his. We are laboring together. My dad, listen, is not another missionary's enemy in Africa. They are laboring together. But our enemy, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that, listen, we have some enemies. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, not the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, the one that has more than you, but the devil has a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's our enemy. By the way, another independent fundamental Baptist college is not the enemy of Landmark Baptist College. The devil is our enemy. John 10:10 says that he cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Verse 5 in Psalm 23 tells me that the Lord, my Almighty, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I want to preach here for just a minute. Our Lord has prepared and provided everything that we have need of to face the enemy. We don't have to cower. We don't have to quit. We don't have to run. Why? Because our provider will give us all that we have need of. Amen. Can I say this? He's given us salvation. Amen. He's given us the sweet Holy Spirit we've heard about. He's given us his blessed word. Amen. He's given us, the local church. Amen. It's amazing how many people get their feathers ruffled in church, and all of a sudden the church becomes their enemy. Right. Their pastor preaches the word of God, and all of a sudden they get convicted. The preacher becomes their enemy. A godly friend, listen, tries to help somebody that's going down the wrong path, and all of a sudden that friend becomes their enemy. Why? Because they're facing opposition. Can I say this? If you're saved and born again, you've been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you better be glad when you start walking away from the paths of righteousness that God sends opposition your way to try to get you back on the right path. If you're married, sir, you and your wife, don't allow the devil in the world to destroy your home. I believe God calls us to fight. I'm not a fighter. I don't like fighting. I'll be honest with you. I've had to fight, and preacher knows about some of the fights I've been in, and I've talked to him. My dad knows about some of the fights, and listen, they've said, you've got to stand. Just stand your ground, amen. There's some battles worth fighting. I'm not going to go fight some battle that really ain't going to amount to nothing and isn't going to mean anything, no matter how it turns out. But there are some battles for righteousness that are worth fighting. Can I say this? This morning, my family's worth fighting for. Yeah. My church is worth fighting for. Amen. The word of God is worth fighting for. Amen. Now, can I say this real quick about the Bible? We don't have to run around defending it. That he'll take care of that. We just need to go around declaring it, amen. But I'm here to tell you, you go attacking my Bible and you're attacking me, you're going to have a fight on your hand. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to cower. I'm going to stand upon God's word. I had a man church come to me and said, preacher, I think there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? You're acting too much like that Dr. Mickey Carter. I said, I never knew that'd be a problem. Could you explain? Yeah. Why do you always got to mention something about the King James Bible? I said, because that's what it is. Well, why can't you just mention the Bible? Because the devil has brought in too many cheap imitations that call it the Bible. I want everybody to know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the King James Bible. But I'm not going to fight him. You say, what do you do? I'm just going to declare it. Going to preach it. Can I say, preacher, I don't like fighting. I don't either. You know, our country's worth fighting for.
Amen.
And you can like this, lump it, jump it, get over it, I don't care. But I'm glad there's some military troops, U.S. military troops, down there on our southern border of Texas that's not just letting a bunch of illegal murderers and rapists and everything else come across the border unchecked.
Amen.
Why? Because our country is worth fighting for.
Amen.
There's some things worth fighting for. Well, preacher, I heard one preacher say this. Well, I think there's three things causing division in our fundamental Baptist churches. The Bible, standards, and music. And I just don't want to cause a fuss about any of those. I don't want to cause no problems. Well, I hate to inform you, but if you failed to fight for those three things, you've already got a bunch of problems. You've already got a bunch of troubles. Amen. Well, I just don't want to fight. Can I say this? Every one of us are fighters. Every one of us. Let me illustrate it. Let one of those illegals come across that border down there and find their way to Central Florida. Now, I'm not saying every one of them that comes across the border is a criminal. Well, I mean, if they come illegally, they're a criminal. Amen. But I'm not saying they're all murderers and drug dealers and all that, but if they come illegally, they're criminals. Let one of them find their way to Central Florida, say somewhere around Haines City, Orlando, Winter Haven, that area. And just so happens that one of them fellas find himself at your house. Now, instead of him coming to your front door, knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell, he decides he's going to crawl through your bedroom window where your little girl sleeps. What are you going to do? You're going to fight. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot in Jesus' name and ask questions later. Why? Because I got a little girl. Listen, you ain't coming in her window. You ain't coming in her bedroom door if I don't invite you. Why? Because she's worth fighting for. I got another one for you. You try letting one of these supposed transgenders walk in the bathroom where my wife is. And that fella's going to have a fight. And I'm not talking about me. That 5-foot little thing is going to knock the snot out of that queer. She's mean as a rattlesnake. And whatever is left whenever they pick him up, I'm going to finish. Why? Because my wife is worth fighting for. You see, there's things worth fighting for. Well, I just don't want to fight over this and that. Quit being such a pansy. Why is our nation the mess it's in today? Because of a bunch of polished preachers that didn't want to get in a fight, didn't want to lead their people in the paths of righteousness. Well, we just don't want no conflict. I got news for you. Once you got saved, you entered a conflict whether you liked it or not. Amen. Let me hurry. I notice here, verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Notice this, all the days of my life. I find here's a certainty that we need. Resolve. We need to just resolve that I'm just going to trust God with all my heart and I'm going to be faithful to the very end.
Amen.
Now, I know all of you wouldn't be as honest as Brother Chitty and tell everybody about the times you wanted to quit. But there's been times in my life I've wanted to quit. Been times in ministry I wanted to quit. And I'm glad that there's been some preachers that I could talk to that would say, what are you thinking?
Yes.
Did God save you for eternity? Yes. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that God called you to preach? Yes. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that God called you to pastor where you are? Yes. Then why are you even entertaining the thought of stopping? Why even, college student, listen, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're right where God wants you, that you know that it was God's will for you to be at Landmark Baptist Church, why don't you, like Brother Chitty said, just forget about quitting.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I think I'll go check out another college. I can tell you what's going to happen at the other college. The same problem you have here is going to follow you there.
Right.
And by the way, what's the problem? Submission.
Amen.
Not, and your submission problem isn't to the president and vice president. Your submission isn't to the pastor. Your submission problem is to God. You're not submitting to the one who has authority over you. You're not submitting to the one who saved you. Whenever I want to quit on God, you know what I'm saying? God, I've got a submission problem. I don't like submitting to your will. I think I've got a better path now. The Bible says all the days of our life, not just the best of the days, but all the days of our life. We often will serve the Lord as long as our circumstances are favorable and everything's going well. But can I ask you what happened to all of our days?
Amen.
All of our days. Then I find verse number 6, something else, and I close here. Another certainty. By the way, can I be certain you won't quit? No. I can't be certain you won't quit. But if you just have some resolve, you can be certain, say, God, by your grace, I'm not going to quit. But I thank God for this certainty. And this certainty don't rest upon whether or not I quit. It rests upon the fact that He is my Lord. What is it? Look there at the end of verse number 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I'm glad. Listen, I thought about this last night. And I know you're not supposed to do this. But during preaching, sometime during the service, I don't know when it was. May have been during the song service. But I got thinking, you know what happens if that crazy socialist Muslim gets voted in up there in Georgia? James said, Dad, you going to surrender your guns? Fat chance on that one. And I got thinking about that, but then it was as though the Holy Spirit just kind of pricked my heart. Just like with Obama and Trump and Hillary and all the rest. Well, was I Lord before they were ever in office? Am I still going to be Lord after they're in office? Most definitely. So regardless of what happens or does not happen in this life, He's Lord. And because of what He's done for me, the faith I placed in Him, I can be certain of this one thing. No matter what I face in this life, I will go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Some certainties. Can I ask you this question? I close. Young folks, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that when this life ends, you'll go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Do you know that? You can. Because Jesus paid it all for you. Jesus made a way. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. God, I pray that You'd bless now the rest of the service. Father, how I beg there be somebody here that's lost and get saved even a morning service like this. God, help every one of us within the sound of my voice to have that resolve. Faith in You that we're not going to quit. We'll just keep on no matter what comes our way. In Jesus' name.